I want to give you a quick report because I know many people are praying for my mother. She is getting some better. We're going to take her tomorrow. If she's not completely better by in the morning, we're going to take her to get an MRI tomorrow. But she's doing well. We've been, people around the world are praying for, you know, I've made my mother famous, you know. She's loved God longer than I've been alive. So I thank God for her. I know I haven't been here at prayer. I haven't been here. Not in body, but I've sure been here in spirit. I am so in this war. And there's nothing in me that will concede. There is nothing in me that will quit. I'll die before I stop. And I thank God for each and every one of you that's continuing this war. I'm so full, I don't even know where to start. I really don't. This I don't know what's going to happen. I believe where I'm supposed to start with this. I believe. It's not for my mama, it's for the nation. It's for this nation. For God's kingdom, for His plan, for this world. I don't know if there's been a prophecy since this through Pastor Bronk, but this one came through him on November 8th, and the title they put on it is Do Not Concede. Do not concede, and I believe it'd do us well to hear it again today. This is not a time to concede. This is not a time to concede, says the Lord, and neither is it a time to give up or change your confession. And neither is it a time to take your eyes off of the prize, says the Spirit of grace.
God, I can barely talk.
For my prize distinctly is this, the harvest of the souls of the earth, says the Lord. Need I remind you? But I will remind you again that I birthed the heart of Christianity in the midst of tyranny, says the Spirit of grace. I launched it in a generation in which there was no freedom by the government, nor freedom by the church for those that were being born into the kingdom. And I chose such a time as that, that no generation that would ever come would be able to look back and say, but the church was birthed without persecution. The church was birthed and went forth in the midst of a great freedom that was given to them by man. But as your prototype walked in the midst of persecution and won the battle spiritually, I say to you even today that your authority does not come from getting your eyes off of the prize. Your authority comes by setting your continual attention upon one, that is, your high priest which is in heaven. And above all things, he seeks for the harvest of the earth. The revival, as I have said, dictates the change of a nation. It is not an election nor anything in the natural. The natural does not predicate or put it into effect. Where many in my church are missing it is that they... Now listen. Where many in my church are missing it is that they are not warring out of the Spirit, and they have changed the words of their mouth. Continue to war out of the Spirit, and continue to stay focused upon me, says the Spirit of the Lord, and the harvest. But even in natural things, now listen, I would say to you, war. What did he say? War. Say it out loud.
War.
Say it like you're going to scare the devil.
War!
War! This is not a time to concede. It's not a time to give up. It's not a time to be bad-mouthing the church, bad-mouthing the election. Don't give your voice to the enemy. Stop it. And if you have been, repent right now. If you can't say anything in line with the word, just shut up. I would say unto you, war. Continue to speak the end result. Do not concede what is my very best for this nation. And lift up your president, that he does not concede before his time, that his arms are lifted up. Continue to be Aaron's and hers in the spirit, to lift him up. Now, I'm just asking you, no matter what they are saying on the news, who is the president right now of the United States of America? Donald J. Trump. And that's the one that the Lord's talking about here. But you do yourself an injustice of authority when you turn and put all of your heart wrenching into the idea that freedom will come by whoever stands in office. We're free no matter who's in office. But I'll tell you one thing. Richard Wurmbrandt was free in the spirit while they pierced his body with hot pokers for 15 years in prison. Do you want that? That you're still free in the spirit right there. That's not his best for this nation. That's exactly where the devil wants to put it. Continue to say inside of you, as the three Hebrew sons of faith listed in my word, quote, even if he does not deliver us from the fiery furnace, be it known unto you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, I will not bow. I will not bow. Your authority does not come by taking your eyes off the prize, but continue to make first my harvest, my authority, knowing that I can change all things, even to this present hour, out of that authority. Stay in that place where all authority comes, says the Spirit of the Lord. This thing is not over, both in the spirit and in the natural, says the Spirit of the Lord. Did he not say, lift up our president, our current president? Now, you know, this one's long. Just be in a spirit of agreement with me. I won't lead you in this confession. This is a prayer for President Trump, who is our president right now. We come together today as the body of Christ in this nation to lift up our president, Donald J. Trump. As many voices rise up against this one that you have set into office, we lift up our voices with one heart and one mind to stand in agreement with heaven's purposes concerning our nation. We stand by this president who has declared this nation to be under God's rule and authority and seeks righteousness and justice for our nation. We welcome and embrace the fear of the Lord as the standard for all righteous rule. We repent for the ways in which we have bowed to the fear of man. Cleanse our hearts and renew our minds that we may walk in the light of your truth. We ask that President Trump would delight in the fear of the Lord in order to walk in the power of your might and the wisdom of your ways. May righteousness and faithfulness be his portion so that he may render righteous judgments according to your word. We ask that President Trump would show no fear toward the evil that assails him, but rather overcome it with a zeal and a passion for your laws, which bring life and liberty to all. May he love your word and seek your wisdom diligently, remaining open and teachable to godly counsel and heaven's wisdom. You would pray this for any president. We thank you that his heart is in your hands and that you will direct it according to your will and purpose. Grant him increased grace and blessing as he needs your voice, as he heeds your voice and obeys your word. We declare over President Trump that he will have true judgments by the Spirit and not according to man. We declare that he will possess heaven's knowledge with shrewdness of mind in making right decisions for the good of the people. Fill his mouth with good things, that he may speak what is true and right. We pray that he will use his God-given authority to execute justice and establish righteousness in this land for the sake of your glory and your kingdom. We declare that he will rule in the midst of his enemies, not backing down or wavering due to threats or intimidation. May his ears become deaf to the assaults from his enemies. And may those who seek his life answer to you for their wicked ways. May he know that it is your hand and your sovereign purpose that is keeping him and sustaining him in his divine commission. Keep President Trump and those who serve him safe from the enemy's snares and free from the accuser's traps. By your great hand, Lord, deal with those who oppose righteousness and justice so that all men will know it is you alone who is sovereign and true. And may the fire of your presence burn up all of your May the fire of your presence burn up the plans of all your enemies, consume their devices who stand against you concerning our destiny and inheritance as one nation under God. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers and empowering us as kingdom ambassadors on the earth, from the highest office in the land to the least known among men. May we all seek to know you more intimately, serve you more passionately, and praise you more fully, so that all men will be saved. Through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now open up to Ezra just for a moment. That's on page 712 in your Bibles. And you can put a marker in the next book, which is Nehemiah chapter 4. I believe the Lord showed me something important this morning out of this for the time that we're in. First of all, you got to know that several hundred years before Cyrus, King Cyrus, was born, God prophesied to him through the mouth of Isaiah. And I don't have time to go into all of that. I love that whole thing. But isn't that amazing that God, hundreds of years before that king was born, knew he was going to be born, called him by name, and told him what he was going to do? A pagan king, not a Jew. Yet God used him. This is right at the end of the 70-year judgment on Israel, where they've been in captivity for 70 years. It's coming right to the end of that. And now the words of the prophet have been made known to Cyrus. And here in Ezra, he makes a proclamation. So we're going to start right there. So Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. King of who? Is he a Jew? No. Today, type in shadow. Would you say he's a Christian? Probably not. God chose him anyway. You might not have liked his personality. You might not have liked what he ate, what he drank. God chose him anyway. You don't get to choose. God chooses. Who is Lord here anyway? There you go. Jesus is Lord. So now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me," who has? The Lord has. "Charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering of the house of God that is in Jerusalem. We could go on. I just wanted you to see that it's Cyrus, a non-Jew, today probably a non-Christian, but God called him before he was ever born. God selected this man. What was his purpose? Rebuild the house of God in the land. You got it? All right. Now go over to Nehemiah. So that began, and we don't have time to go through all of that story. There's so much involved in it, but they began, and boy, he sent them with stuff, this king. He sent out legal proclamations that they carried with them, and he was restoring the rights of his people in the land. He was restoring the rights. Rebuild the walls. What is that? We're reestablishing the old foundations. We're putting things back the way they should be. And they started building the wall and restoring Jerusalem to its former place. And guess what? It made the devil mad. Shocker of shockers. So Nehemiah was one of the main people involved with rebuilding the wall. So they've started rebuilding. They're going through it. The walls are coming back up. And then we're going to pick it up here in chapter 4. And I apologize ahead of time just once for my Oklahoma pronunciation of some of these names. It's not important anyway, okay? They'll tell me how to say it when I get to heaven. But anyway. But it came to pass that when... Now, Sanballat is a type of the devil here. I'm just telling you ahead of time. He's against this. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, when he found out that the rights and the foundations of God's house was being relaid, he was mad. He was wroth. And he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews, these little Christians, why do they think they can have their country back? Why do they think this can be a Christian land again? Why do they think it can be returned to the foundations of the first settlers that came, that the first thing they did was put up a 7-foot cross that they brought with them on the ship and dedicated this land to God? Why do they think it can return to a land sold out to God? Why do they think that these feeble, little, weak Christians, I mock them?" Boy, if you can't hear that spirit in the USA today, you're just deaf. Mocking. Who do you think you are? So this Sanballat, he spake before the brethren, the army of Samaria, and he said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice?" Now for us, that would mean, are they going to worship Jesus in this land? Will they make an end in a day? Are they going to do a quick work? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? The gates have been burned. Can you imagine what the walls have been broken down? It looked like total devastation. I think in the spirit it looked like America today. The walls have been broken down. The gates have been burned. The church is in shambles. This so reminds me of the analogy we use all the time when it says the rubbish. And see, we're like archaeologists. We've been saying this for years. All of us, you included, but myself, Bronk, Jim, any of us, Hans, any of us who are praying in the Spirit and letting the mysteries come through you, we're digging down through 2,000 years of rubbish, religious junk that has been piled so high you can't even see the original foundation and stones. It's got to be dug down and refound again, and that's what we've been doing for years. But they've been so covered up, the world doesn't even know what's right and wrong anymore. They call light dark and dark light. They think What God calls an abomination, they say is good. Will they revive the stones? I'm going to say the original foundation stones. Are they going to revive them again out of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Well, even that which they build, yeah, they're building, but it's so weak what they're doing. If a fox goes up and just leans on it, if a fox go up on it, just jump up on the wall, he'll break it down." They're mocking. They think you have no power. They are, yes, sir. They are used to weak-kneed, panty waist, milk toast, surrender at the first boo, Christian. All we have to do is just the least thing, and we'll knock it down. That they think they've won. The devil thought he'd won until the third day. Now it switches. Here's Nehemiah and the people praying, "Hear, O God." This is the prayer center. This is you. This is us. And it's not just here in America. It's around the world. This revival God wants to harvest is not just for the United States. Now I'm here, so I have to contend for my country. You contend for your country. He wants this revival around the world. A harvest of souls, the greatest that's ever been. A minimum of 1 billion souls. Minimum of 1 billion. "Hear, O God, we are despised." Christians in our land, I have to keep speaking for America. Christians are being despised. You stand up for righteousness, they'll call you a hater. You tell the truth, they'll call you a bigot. May even sue you. Egg your house. Key your car. Slash your tires. We are despised. That word despised means what it sounds. It's despised. I hear right now, "Blessed are you when all men shall hate you for my name's sake." What are we supposed to do if they hate me, Lord, and key my car and egg my house and threaten my kids? What am I supposed to do? Rejoice! Leap for joy! Great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Now this is next verse is the one that just this morning while I was in prayer, I kept going back to chapter 4 of Nehemiah. I just kept going back to it. And this verse is the one that just, well, there's another one. There's two verses in this passage that just jumped out to me. Verse 6. "So built we the wall." Now listen, in spite of what the enemy's saying, in spite of the opposition, we built the wall. Say it with me. I am a builder of the wall. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together. Now notice, unto the half thereof. And that just jumped out. Nothing's in the Bible by chance. And I think what he's saying for our generation, what our King Cyrus has done, he's only half through. He's only half through. The wall is only half done. You understand what I'm saying without me saying it? You're smart, right? He's only half done. Got to have another half to finish up what God intends here. Let's don't quit. This wall is just half done. For the people had a mind to work. Now we're going to keep going. "But it came to pass that when..." Now here's all the enemy. "When Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodite, those people, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped." Now, that's big gaping holes in the wall, but they began to be stopped now. They're not stopped, but the work is going on. Okay? When they saw that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. You made the devil mad. Good. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. What did he say? War! War in the spirit, and don't you change your confession. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish. God, there's so much religion still in the land that's not really your truth. So much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, our enemy, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them, and we'll slay them and cause the work to cease. They think they're going to catch the church asleep and weary and tired and laid down. And then we're going to come in where they don't expect it, and we're going to kill them. Verse 12, not to the verse yet. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by, in other words, there's Jews that lived around Tobias, Sanballat, and all that bunch, which dwelt by them, came, and they said unto us 10 times, from all the places whence you shall return unto us, they're going to be upon you. In other words, there's a sneak attack coming. I'm telling you, there's been a sneak attack in this land, and it's going to be exposed. I believe that with all of my heart. Don't you stop warring. Don't you stop warring. There has been an attack. Sneak attack. But we're not asleep. We're aware of what's going on. Verse 13. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families. Now notice, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. That sounds like war to me. Be ready. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Now here's what went off in my spirit. And fight! Fight for your brethren. Your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. I've got grandchildren that are coming of age. I want them to have a godly country to grow up in. I want them to have a city set upon a hill that has freedom, where opportunity is still there, where they can serve God and be a light to the world. I'm fighting not just for me, not just for my 99-year-old mother. It's for my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and the generations to come. Fight! There is a time for peace and there is a time for war. If we went to Ecclesiastes, there is a time for peace and there is a time for war. People, this is a time for war. This is no time to be laying down. And I know the enemy, if he's throwing all kinds of cares of this world at me, trying to distract me, you know, I know he's throwing all kinds of diversions at you. And even if you can't be here in body, be here in spirit. I have not yet missed a day of these confessions that we're going to do them again. You're not going to do it again, Gary. Yeah, we're going to do them again. Because that's what he said. Hold fast your confession. Hold fast. And as much as I possibly can. My mama thinks about half nuts anyway. She loves me. I'm just praying under my breath all that I can. Just praying softly, you know. She knows what I'm doing. She asks me, I tell her. What do I care? And she's not, my mother's not against it at all. She was actually started off her journey in a Pentecostal church. She said, I don't ever remember a day not hearing my mama speak with other tongues. But I never knew that till I was older, because we were always Baptist. You know, I grew up in a Baptist. I said, well, if you started off Pentecostal, how did you wind up being Baptist? She said, to her, the answer was just simple. I married a Baptist man. In that generation, that's just the way it was, you know. I married a Baptist man. We're Baptist. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. So in that prophecy that I read a while ago, did you hear, do not change your confession? Let's do our confession. I am going to lead you in this one, if you don't mind. Well, I'm going to lead you in it whether you mind or not. You don't have to repeat, but I'm going to lead because he said don't change it. Yes, sir. Now, this is fighting. This is fighting in the spirit because you have authority. You are the body of Christ. He has no lips on planet Earth but yours. He is not able to speak the will of the Father except through his body. We are his body. We are his lips. When you're speaking these things, you are loosing authority on this earth for the everything that is the Father's will. These confessions, Jim Martin did these, they are specifically tailored to be nonpartisan. You could pray this, say these same confessions over any election. Next 4 years, the 4 years after that, they're based on righteousness and not Republican or Democrat. Okay? All right. Say, Father, I present myself to you as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of this election. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to impact the way the votes are counted. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. And according to the power and authority given to me by God, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, spirit of confusion. And I command that you silence your tongue and cease your actions. You will not have an impact on this election. I come against every principality, every power, every ruler of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against the man that God knows should be elected. I speak to you and command you, you spirit of confusion, be cast out now in Jesus' name. Jesus has given to me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all your devils are bound concerning this nation and this election. None of your plans for interfering with this election will succeed. I call the Father's will to be accomplished. Jesus has completely and totally defeated you. And all of your principalities, powers and devils. He made an open show of you. He triumphed over you for all eternity. And he has given to me that same victory. I call you and everything about you and your devils completely, totally, and thoroughly defeated in this election. Satan, you and your devils have lost. The victory of Christ is known in this election. You cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils. Your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has to come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You walk in blindness. Division has filled your camp. Lord, make your words in our mouth like fire. And make the plans of the enemy be like wood. Consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all those who are trying to interfere with and alter the outcome of this election. May confusion fill their camps, as it did in the camps of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. May they devastate each other. May their plans and agendas collapse at their feet. Just as you revealed to Elijah. Oh, I love this. The plans of the enemy. Expose the plans of the ungodly. Who are trying to corrupt this election. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day. Drive back the forces of evil. Father, we offer up prayer in the Spirit. And we ask that the Holy Spirit pray through us. Your perfect will concerning the outcome you desire for this election. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you. Likewise, I say that the government of this nation rests upon you. May the man the Father wants as our president be elected. May all the votes cast for him be brought to light. Father, this battle is not ours, it is yours. You are with us. Oh God, we praise you and worship you. For your mercy endureth forever. We praise you for the beauty of your holiness. We praise you for our salvation. We exalt you and glorify you for the victory in this election. Now, Father, I promise you, according to your word, I will not be afraid of the enemy. I remember you, Lord. You are great and terrible. And I covenant with you. I will fight. I will fight for my brethren. I'll fight for my sons and daughters. I'll fight for my wives and my houses. And I will fight for my country. That your glory may shine in this nation. As a beacon to all the world. Now praise him for just a moment. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Jesus is Lord over the United States of America. Jesus is Lord over the whole earth. The whole earth is in revival. We worship you and praise you. The enemies, the plans of the enemies are as nothing. We win. We win. Our wall is strong and it will stand and we will finish it in Jesus' name. That warrior song, is that easy to play? Yes, they're on it. Hallelujah. This would be good. I'm going to sit right here because I don't want you to have to look at me. This song is just, I first heard it at Bronx Church and I said, well, give me that song. This thing's playing at my house about 24/7. Not quite, but I play it a lot. Now listen to this. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Glory and the lifter of my head. The glory and lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord. Heart a shield for me, glory, the lifter of my head. One more time, because there's some of you that are facing some strong demonic influences.
And I know the power of darkness seems to be camped at your doorstep. But tonight, Jesus Christ is the glory. He's the lifter up of your head. He never shoves your head down. He always comes and picks it up. He wipes off the scars, the battle scars off your face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reach out to Him right now. Many there be increased that trouble me these last days. Many are the demon spirits that rise up against me. That old accuser. Many there be which say of my soul. This is what the devil says to you. There is no help for you in God. But this is what we do. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Yeah. Hallelujah. He heard me out of His holy hill. I lay me down and I slept. When I awaken, the precious Holy Ghost of God sustain me. Listen to this. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of demons. Every evil spirit from hell may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000. Sing it. The Lord spoke this song to me in my office. He said, this is the psalm that's going to take you through to the end time. He said, it makes no difference how many demons are encamped about you. He said, I'm going to be the glory and the lifter up of your head. So whenever my back's up against the wall, here's what I do. I cry to the Lord. And I know there's people listening to this tape right now. In the car, wherever you may be, just cry out to the Lord. I want you to clap your hands and shout because the enemy's going to fall. I will not be afraid of 10,000 yes. demons. Shut up. Yes. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I will not be afraid of 10,000 of demons that encamp themselves. Everybody sing it, lift your hands and sing it.
Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Raise your voice to heaven. Helping somebody. Come on, I want you to lift your voice one more time. This is helping somebody. Oh, Thou, oh Lord, I feel You, Jesus. You're lifting up our heads, God. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I even got my mama singing, pushing her around the house in a wheelchair right now. She's going, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Love it. If you want that song, it's on the internet. It's called the Warrior Song, believe it or not. And it's by, there's several versions, but this one's by Pastor Tommy Bates. Okay. We need to put up the picture of me standing beside the tree, not in front of the tree. Can we do that? Dim the lights. Now I'm just going to introduce this to you. I kept hearing a very familiar verse that we're all so familiar with at the end of Mark chapter 4, where Jesus is continuing to teach about the kingdom of God. And it's Mark 4, verse 26. It says, So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Well, I've taught on that. You've heard that taught. You could teach it yourself. But this time, in my spirit, I kept hearing this part. For the earth bringeth forth. Let me find it and read it. Let me say it exactly. Yes. For the earth bringeth forth. I heard it again. For the earth bringeth forth. For the earth bringeth forth. Say it again. For the earth bringeth forth. And he started, this is a tree in the backyard of my mama's house. It's a giant sycamore tree. We can't even get it all in the camera there, in the shot. That thing is probably 100 foot tall. I mean, it just keeps going, that thing. And look at it. I went out there and tried. I can't reach around it with it, you know. But if you'll see the seed that produces every year, you see the seed that comes on the ground. That seed is not even hardly as big as an acorn, if most of you are familiar with an acorn. And it's smaller than that. But look at the tree that it produces. See, we keep giving all, and we should, don't get me wrong, you know I love the Word. But we keep looking to the Word to bring forth, can I say, the manifestation, the healing, the miracle. But it's not the seed. He didn't say the seed brings it forth. The earth brings it forth. And I go out there and I look at that tree and I think about that. Okay, now I'm going to hold the Word in my hand. Can you all see me? I got the Word. I can hold it in my hand. There was a time when I could have held that sycamore seed in my hand. Tiny, way smaller than that book. Tiny little seed. How much physical substance, mass, how much material is in that little seed? Not much. But what is in it? The image, the life. We would say the germ in scientific terms, the life, the potential. What if I said hope? I have hope of a sycamore tree. I've seen sycamore trees. I'd like to have a sycamore tree. I have hope of a sycamore tree. Oh, here's a seed for you. And in that seed is hope. There is the complete image. Well, somebody could give me that seed and I'd say, thank you so much for giving me the Word, for giving me the seed. But if I take that Word or the seed and I lay it on my coffee table and I look at it and I love it, for 25 years. Is there going to be a sycamore tree in the living room? No. Because the seed doesn't bring it forth. Gosh, are you getting this? For the earth bringeth forth. He knoweth not how. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, before we leave this image, that's Gary. Can you see that? Now you know what this lesson, I'm not really talking about sycamore trees, am I? What am I talking about? Christ in you. See, the sower soweth the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But when you get born again, the word comes into you. The seed, the life. I should have kept Mark 4 there. Give me just a moment and close. Because what do you mean? What do you mean? The earth bringeth forth. Let me find it now. In that same teaching, he says, you know, the seed fell on all kinds of ground. There was one kind of ground that received it. Some 30, some 60, and apparently that ground there is a 100-fold ground. It brought forth the whole thing, didn't it? Okay? How does that apply to us? What do you mean, Jesus? I read it. What he says is in verse 25, Mark 4, 25. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. The same measure that you give to the word is the same measure that word will be manifested in your life. It's the ground, the earth, that brings the substance. Now that seed went into the ground, but you see all that substance? How many days would it take me if my job was to cut that tree down and then with the way I used to have to do it with a sledgehammer and wedges, not some kind of pneumatic splitter. But if I had to cut that thing down with a chainsaw and a sledgehammer and wedges and cut it up, how many pickup loads would that be? Where did all that substance come from? It wasn't in that seed. The substance was not in the seed. Where did all that substance come from? It obviously came out of the ground. You know what's coming. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. With the measure you meet, it's measured back to you. It's up to us. I want to be believed, he said. And people measure it all different ways. I measure your word, Lord. I believe there's a heaven. Good. That's measured to you now. Devils believe that. Well, I believe there's a God. Good. Word does say there is a God. Devils believe that too. Let's go into salvation. I believe your blood was shed for me. Now you're on the right path. If you really believe that, you're becoming a candidate now for salvation. If you really believe that. Just saying it won't get you saved. But if you believe it. Well, I believe Jesus is raised from the dead. Oh, you're getting close now. If you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead. Okay, you're getting close. And with your mouth you say that he's your Lord. You confess him as your Lord. Thou shalt be saved. Thank God. Thank God we've measured it to that level. Thank God we've measured to the born again level. But now your same Bible says that by his stripes we were healed. By his stripes we were healed. What about measuring it to that level? What about you, Gary? I'm measuring better than I was. I need to measure it all the way. Oh, but then let's go beyond that. He said, you'll lay hands on the sick, believer. You, believer, will lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. Well, that's for Pastor Dave, and that is for Alan, and that is for, those that believe in my name. Do you measure it at that level? So the first thing I wanted you to see, just Gary standing by the tree so you can get a size of the scale. But see, Smith Wigglesworth, he would say, I am 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Go ahead and show the next picture. Now, I'm doing that. I don't know how else to do it. I'm Gary. Christ in me is the sycamore tree. You got to start understanding you are not just you. You are not just you. You are not just you. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The mystery of the gospel is Christ, the anointed one, in you, the hope of glory. But see, whether that glory ever manifests is how do you measure that? Do you really measure it? You may have to spend some time in there. Let the Holy Ghost, the teacher, help you measure it. I'm trying to get him to help me measure it better. But I'm seeing it. That, thank God for that tree. Thank God this helps me. Smith Wigglesworth, I know he had some kind of image like this. I'm 1,000 times bigger. And the way he worded it, he didn't say Christ is 1,000 times bigger. We all know that. No, he says, I am 1,000 times bigger. Why? Because I'm joined with Christ. I'm joined with him. I'm not separate from him. I am one with him. And the more I fellowship with him in his word, in prayer, in worship, the more my mind and his mind are meld together and we are one. And in that process, same way he said, I and my Father are one, you can say, I and Jesus are one. And the Father dwells in me. And the works that Jesus did, I do also. Hallelujah.